Rockwell Bibles builds heirloom custom quality Bibles using the finest premium cowhide and goatskin leathers that you won't find in any mass-produced Bible. Each one is handcrafted, and you can customize nearly every detail from the leather type and the stamping to page edges and liners. As a family-owned Christian business in the Ozarks, Adam, coming from a background in mechanical engineering, brings precision and top-tier build quality to every Bible. Whether you want to build a new Bible or extend the life of the one you already use, this is the place to go. Follow Rockwell Bibles on X, Instagram, or on Facebook to see examples of their work. And visit rockwallbibles.com to place a deposit for your custom Bible today. They also drop ready-made Bibles every Friday, but typically sell out quickly, so don't wait. Visit rockwallbibles.com. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Welcome to the show. Hope you guys are doing well. Andy and I are back today, and we are going to talk a little bit about the plight that young men face currently in our country today, and then try to talk to them in a way that they can understand and try to encourage you, brothers that are listening in, and have found it difficult to talk to young men without being called a boomer, or to try to challenge them or call them up to something, and not really knowing how. And this is something that we've worked through. We're not necessarily experts at this in this kind of thing, but we put together some thoughts and just been talking a little bit about it. And we're going to just kind of spitball and see what we can come up with and hopefully find a way to help young men not just get cynical. In every generation, there's been groups of people who have kind of black-pilled and been cynical and seen all the problems and made excuses and haven't forged a way forward. So we want to help people get out of that, young men in particular, and we just need the Lord's help. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. I ask for blessing upon this conversation. Thank you for Andy and the time that we have now to talk about these things. Pray for the young men that are listening in. There's many legitimate reasons why a young man would be angry in our world today, even with righteous indignation, which is good and proper, but so easy that can go over into unrighteous anger and sinful anger. And then a lot of guys come, like Andy and I, with advice on how to do this or that without recognizing the real challenges that come and just kind of stir the pot. We don't want to do that. We don't want to stir the pot. We want to be helpful. But God, I pray that you would protect these young guys from becoming like the people they don't like and have them give them the thick skin to listen to what we have to say and help us to hear what these young guys have been saying. And Holy Spirit, lead us now. I trust you will. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, how's it going, man?
Doing well.
Yep. Good deal. Intensive's coming up. Pretty excited about that. You going to be able to go?
Yep. I'll be running the check wagon.
Okay. There we go. Good deal. I texted Joey the other day. I've not heard back yet. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he ends up coming. Not sure.
That'd be nice.
But we should have a good amount of guys there. If you're interested in the intensive, please consider coming. It's May 7th through the 9th, Eminence, Missouri. And you just reach out to me and I can get you registered and you can send a check or pay on the internet. But not here to talk about that. Let's talk about young men. What's the plight of young men? So Andy, we're going to spitball on again before we recorded here. Why are young men so angry?
Right. Well, it's one of the mistakes that older men or aging men like ourselves, ripe old age of 36 or 35, I'll be 36 this year, we can make. One of the mistakes we make in talking to younger folks is to not realize or not acknowledge the true obstacles that are in their path, that there is a legitimate concern that young men are facing, and it seems like the deck is stacked against them,
mm-hmm.
that everything is set up for them to fail,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of young men take that black pill,
mm-hmm.
and say, well, if everything is stacked up against me and there's no way that I can win, I'm not even going to play the game.
Right.
And end up living in a place of escapism,
mm-hmm.
or taking the way out of suicide. And so one of the, again, the mistakes we make is not realizing the real obstacles that are in our path. Like, for example, education system, mm-hmm. how it skews against male tendencies,
mm-hmm.
how we've said before, the public education school system treat boys like defective girls.
And medicate them to act like girls.
Right. And if they don't sit still and behave and listen to really long, drawn-out, boring, moralizing sermons and their absolute butchery of history,
mm-hmm.
and then you will be medicated into silence, or you'll fail, and you won't get the...
And if you don't go along with the agenda that the white male is the problem, has been the problem, and will always be the problem, then you're looked at as, you know, that the whole thing is circular. If you oppose that and say, no, the white man isn't the problem, then the young white guy is told, see, you don't even recognize that you're the problem.
Yeah.
So it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. Feminism has so infiltrated the educational system. It is the worldview that is presented there. And to go against that grain at all is to be the monster that everybody's being warned against. You are the toxic,
mm-hmm.
masculine male.
Well, even though the last few years we could say gay and retarded again,
mm-hmm.
okay, the internet can. But that's representative of some of the changing tides that have happened over the last couple of years. But down on the ground level, there's not really much that has changed. The internet world, how buddies talk to each other, there's like liberties that we had when we were growing up that we tucked away in our speech by just self-policing our words. Some of that is lifting. But for a lot of people and these young guys that are experiencing some of that freedom in the institutions, there's still not that sort of freedom.
Right.
So you may online or with your buddies be able to talk a certain way and break free from some of the, you know, tyranny that's been placed upon you ideologically, but you're still very much trapped in that system that only rewards those that get in line, unless you completely try to break out of that system altogether. And so you're functionally in a system that's not going to reward you for being diligent, for working hard. At least that's the caricature. I mean, there's some people that do still break through, you know, white young guys, they're crushing it out there. But there's so many things that are stacked against them, like you said. And even the economy, I mean, houses and property and interest rates.
Right. So the first 17, 18 years of your life, if you're growing up in the public school system, you are being trained actively against being a man. Now,
and to hate your society, right. To hate your fathers, to hate your heritage, to hate your history.
Yeah. And so the next way in which the deck is stacked is after that, there's a clear collapse of vocational pathways.
Mm-hmm.
So you have colleges, which continue that, and even more so ravenously, because the professors can get away with being vulgar in their teaching. And it is much even more so piled on against men in there, set up for women. Also with the discrimination practices of college admissions that are stacked against young white men. And then
in other words, if there's like a young black dude listening in, based on the system that currently exists, if you're not absolutely crushing it, man, that's on you.
Hey,
come on, dude. There's like every advantage that you have.
But same thing with hiring practices for companies. If every single company put out a DEI agenda where we're only going to hire a small percentage of white dudes, then, you know, the deck really is stacked against you to get a good and decent job. So that is a real thing. We've seen real racism, racism against whites.
Yeah, against whites, right.
So then you have just these collapsed pathways. So even if you do end up making it through that gauntlet, getting a degree, the chances of you getting into the field in which you got your degree,
mm-hmm.
are very small.
Right.
And so you are being sold a bill of goods in education, getting a degree that's not going to do you any real good, and then you're saddled with debt. Oh, and then go start a family.
Well, I think there are some young guys that have broke free from this, mm-hmm. and some of our listeners are training their sons and raising their sons up to see outside of that paradigm, and they've found the micro way. They've walked into blue-collar careers and stuff. There are some that do recognize that, but still, as a whole, young men are still trapped in that old system.
Right.
That that keeps these guys from moving ahead, advancing. And really, it's a crushing blow. You grow up in that environment your entire life, and feminism's everywhere. Men are beat down and told that they're terrible and that they're the problem. And then you don't have a pathway forward. And that's still the majority.
Yeah. And so young men drift mm-hmm. without direction, and you end up with delayed independence, which mm-hmm. is delayed marriage, family. But then when you get to the point, it's like, I want to have a family. I want to start a family. There is sexual promiscuity. We live in the most, and you know, sexually immoral period in American history right now.
Yeah.
Where pornography is ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. It is immediately and instantly available to anybody that wants it.
Yep.
And exposure to that is being pushed younger and younger and younger. And women in particular are becoming less chaste as a
body counts out the ceiling.
And so men, young men are becoming disillusioned, and the women they're meeting are just sleeping around, and they can't find the partner that they want. That is sexually pure and is chaste.
Yeah, so like if you say to a young guy now, hey, go find a good wife, mm-hmm. they're like, where?
Yeah, there are no good women.
What are you talking about?
Right, that's what they say.
Yeah.
And that's that taking the black pills. That there are no good women. There are no women who have good morals. They're all right out there. So you're basically, what your goal in life is, starting a family, raising godly children, it feels like an impossible goal because it's so hard to find a woman that shares your same values because of the collapse of our values in general as an American society.
Yeah. And so if you say, find a wife, get a job, find a wife, buy a house, start a family, in our neck of the woods, you can still get a decent house for a pretty cheap price. But most people, where they're at in the country, to get a decent house that you can live in, I'm talking about basic starter level. Mm-hmm. You're 150, 200K. Whereas in our area, you can go to some places, you can still get a house at $40,000, $50,000 and put a little bit of work into it and live in it pretty quick. That's not the norm. So thinking about, my grandpa bought his house for $15,000 with 12 acres. Mm-hmm. And it's an old farmhouse. And that is so beyond me. If I tried to do that today, it'd be $1.5 million.
Right.
So there's the world that's been handed down to them economically, and it's the okay boomer kind of mindset where the young guy's like, all right, you guys have literally no idea what the world is like anymore and how to invest and how to make money. It's not the same way. And Dave Ramsey gets the okay boomer treatment too from people. And one of the things I was kind of bouncing around with you is how to talk to young men who, what I see, and we, obviously we're like front end loading we recognize, we see kind of thing here with you. And we really do. I see that problem, not as clearly as some of you who are living it, but we do see it. We recognize it. So I don't want to like get into standpoint theory where you're only young guys can understand where young guys are coming from or something, but.
Right. And I don't want to interject one more thing. As we're laying all these things out, the one institution that young man should be able to come to and feel heard and understood, and to have people to help them work through that, the church, has lost its spine
mm-hmm.
and refuses all these things that we've listed out to even acknowledge that they exist.
Right.
And even in the face of that, to not preach against feminism mm-hmm. or any of these other things, is always to blame the men in the relationship too. So you have men who are disillusioned with the church because of so many spineless leaders whose churches are feminine coded, who mm-hmm. are afraid to offend women
right.
by even acknowledging that these things exist. And so young men are learning to distrust the church because there is no current institution. So as pastors in the church mm-hmm. who are not afraid or unwilling to speak on these issues, let's go to the next
one. Okay. So I think it's easy to become what you hate. You see this at the family level with a son who grows up saying, I'm not going to be like my dad, only to wake up by the time he's 35 or 45 and realize, well, I've become a dad. For better or for worse, you become what you hate. If things aren't radically changed, if God doesn't get a hold of you, if there's not submission, repentance in your life. And what are some of the things that young men hate right now? If you look at boomers and feminists, or just women in general, young women, one of the things that people hate about the fact that you can, about talking with women, is that you say, hey, women, why are you initiating divorces? And why is there lack of respect? Why is there not a commitment to modesty? And the immediate response from many women, not all, but many, is the deferring to, well, men should protect their eyes. And it's because men aren't leading well. It's because they're not loving well. It's not. It's just this defer, mm-hmm. defer, excuses. Or the boomer, and being frustrated with the boomer about their self-indulgence or about the economy that they gave us or about them not understanding and that sort of thing. And if young men are careful, what ends up happening is you start to talk to a young man and say, here's what God has prescribed for you, young man. And all of a sudden, that young man starts to defer. Yeah, but there are no good women. Yeah, but there's no point because the economy, I'll never own a home. Yeah, I have to live in debt because that's just the way the world is. Yeah, I have to. And it ends up being, and it's like a different flavor of it, but it's the same kind of thing where now, you know, you're saying there are so many men that are scared to, pastors are scared to talk to feminists and boomers. Okay, well, are the pastors scared to talk to the young men? Mm-hmm. Because the young men are going to get offended? And we got to figure out a way, how do we slip this in there? How do we talk to these young men in a way that fires them up and gets them going? And all of a sudden, now pastors are having to walk on eggshells talking to the sins of boomers, the sins of women, and now the sins of young men, because the temperament of young men can't handle being talked to in a grown man sort of way. And that's what I want to appeal to you, and what we want to talk about here over the next few minutes is like, hey, you're God's man. You're a young man. God has saved you. He's called you, and you can handle hearing what God has to say to you. You've got broad shoulders for a reason. Galatians chapter 6 says that you're to bear your own burden, the burdens that God has given you, as we're to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We also have each been given a load that we are to carry. So you can handle hearing what God has to say to you.
The man who hates reproof is stupid.
Yes.
Proverbs says.
Absolutely.
And so as men, part of being a man is being able to receive the word of God with joy and to joyfully submit to it and say, I want to do whatever my king wants me to do,
mm-hmm.
and think and say and act. And so there should be an eagerness for a Christian, even though the deck is stacked against you, to say, I know that things are hard, but I want to follow my Lord and do whatever he wants me to do. And so we want to be able to come to the scriptures and what they say to obey,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to do so with joy, knowing mm-hmm. that God is pleased that those who love him obey his commandments.
Yes.
And so we shouldn't be afraid to say what the commandments of God are in those hard circumstances,
mm-hmm.
and to expect obedience to them.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just think about, let's go through these commands when it comes to like self-control. Let's just start with self-mastery. You're a young man and you're struggling with pornography, let's say. That's a sin that you're battling and dealing with, or cynicism or whatever. And yeah, the fruit of the Spirit, you claim the name of Christ, you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're a part of a church, and you have the Spirit of God who is working in you, self-control. Therefore, you must stop, you must fight, you must exercise self-control and get control of your passions. You have to do that. That is something God's called you to, and you say, well, Jared, everybody else is doing this and whatever, but it's like this is the basics of what it means to walk as God's man, is walking with self-control. And learning to control your passions and your desires, or you will be controlled by your passions and desires. They are going to be your master, or you are going to be the master. Which one are you going to be? So you're either going to be a slave to your sin, or your desires are going to be your slave where you have control.
Right.
And that's the very basics of what it means to be a Christian, is to have self-control.
So there's an acknowledgement that this pornification of society is intentional, because it does rob men of their strength. And that what they used to say, men used to be able to accomplish great things when it was harder to see a naked woman.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But when we indulge the flesh like that, it does rob us of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And it is bad. And so we have to fight against it. We don't have an option to not put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Yeah.
But even though these things are ubiquitous, even though they're so easy to find, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same living power, the resurrection of Christ, lives in his people.
Mm-hmm.
And it is by that same power that we can put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Right.
And so regardless of the circumstances of how easy it is to indulge those particular sins, we have Almighty God living inside us to help. He is our helper in that. And so we shouldn't despair at that. And every generation has had sins to resist and to repent of. It is not unique to us.
No.
And so we need to fight against it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God can bring victory in that.
Yeah.
And we need to fight to obey.
So, you know, the millennials, I'm a early millennial, I was born in 83, and we have aborted a third of Gen Z, a third. The blood on our hands as millennials, and I think you're a millennial as well, as a whole, there's a recognition here of generational sins. They are there. You know, the caricature of the millennial that doesn't know how to do anything, their dad always did it, but you know, we just have to watch YouTube and figure that out. It's a true caricature. We're pretty retarded on a lot of things. And what we would ask you to acknowledge is that you have those generational sins as well, that you've got to recognize and watch out. They're going to be uniquely different, but they're a part of, you can see them in Gen X, you can see it in the boomers and the greatest generation, all the way back. You know, you can go and see these things that are caricatures, or that really, not caricatures, they're a reality of a generation. So back to self-control. Beyond that, you know, when we give advice like, hey, you're a man now that has self-control, you got your passions under control, find a wife, find a good wife. You say, where? Okay, God's sovereign, you got to trust him. You go to the Lord, praying that God will send you the right woman. You got to be willing to find her. And you are to leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. You've got to pray and trust the Lord that he's going to provide you a wife that's a good woman. And don't settle for a woman that is not a godly woman. And the things that I've always said in the past, I think still stand true, is when you're looking for a wife, you're looking for one that's pretty, that you're attracted to. And I understand that beauty is objective, but in this area, there is some subjectivity here to that. You need to find a woman that's beautiful to you, that you are attracted to, that loves Jesus, that's a Christian. Second characteristic has to be a Christian. I put for attractiveness number one, because that's the first thing you're always drawn to. You don't really necessarily see somebody's heart and walk with the Lord at first. So attractiveness, she loves the Lord. She loves being a woman. It means she hates feminism. She really wants to be a woman. She's not trying to be you. And then finally, number four, she likes you. And you find a girl like that and marry her. And I say find, trust the Lord, because it is going to be difficult. If you're at a good church, it's going to be a little bit easier. But you're going to have to pray and trust the Lord. And really, when you say, I can't find a wife, where, what ends up happening is it's a explicit distrust in God's ability to answer your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And he really can answer your prayers.
Yeah. So a good place to look is the right church.
Yeah. Okay,
so finding a church. We just did a whole podcast series on what to look for in a good church.
Yeah.
Go listen to that and try to find a community of people with like values to you. Not every woman out there is a whore. Okay.
That's true.
There are good and virtuous women. There are, because the Holy Spirit lives in his people.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
There are saved women in the church that want to follow Jesus and have kept themselves chaste. Mm-hmm. You can find them.
Yeah.
In every age, you can find them. So look for a right church. Find a woman in that church to marry. What's another?
Well, we kind of did this in a backwards order maybe, but work, good work. Be wise in your decision about what you're going to do as a career, and know your skills and aptitudes that God has given you. Because trying to do something that maybe makes some good money, but you don't have the abilities to do it, the aptitudes to do it, then don't do it. But if you are trained and wired, or if you're wired in a certain way, then go be a technician. I mean, if you're a technician, like a mechanic at a mechanic shop, you can make, even in our area, $80,000 to $100,000 a year being a mechanic. And there's honor in that. That's a good thing. HVAC, all the trades, I mean, you know, micro stuff. You guys at this point are smart enough to know this kind of stuff. But the traditional route of just going to college and loans and all of that, just be wise. It plays into the economy and the way we spend our money and save our money and the decisions we make financially, which we'll get to here in a little bit, but find good work. Work is going to be work no matter what you do. When I was young, people said, you know, find a work you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Do what you love.
Yeah, because you'll never find a job.
Yeah, you'll never find a job. It's like, well, I like hunting and, you know, I like playing basketball back then and the NBA just didn't work out. I'm like 6 foot and not fast, or 5'11", not fast, 5'10 and a half. I got to be honest here, guys. I was 6'1 in high school basketball and I listed myself as 6'1". It was a lie. And that didn't work out. You're going to work is work. I mean, that's what God's called you to. And so if your dad has not set you up to be able to step into the family business or some sort of work, then you're going to have to do that. And it's always good, I think, to be able to think about your children and grandchildren along the way, or maybe you start a business or you do some sort of trade that you can train your sons in that they can pick up and learn from you. But find good work. You're smart enough to figure that out, what you want to do and how to make money at it. And if you're creative enough, and if you just go up to, you know, local electrician shop, show up early in the morning and actually force yourself to, I mean, I want to talk to the owner and tell him, I'll be the best employee you have. I'll be here tomorrow morning. I'll be the best learner and you will not regret hiring me. You say, well, nobody does resumes like that anymore. Well, find a mom and pop electrician shop, plumbing supply place, or a plumbing company, and go there and figure out who to talk to and get the job. And I guess, I don't know, I'm thinking mom and pop shops around here, but most smaller communities, even in an urban setting, if you go out a little bit from the city into in a community that's 10, 20,000 people, something like that, you can find smaller shops and outfits that you can go and still talk to the owner and find a job.
There is a great need in the trades. There are so many people retiring from them with nobody to replace them. And maybe consider going, getting a certification somewhere, looking at some of the things that would make you competitive in those trades. If there's a, if there's some basic certifications that you can get while you are working at a different job. And, you know, when you get home, taking some online courses, that's something, just look at getting into a trade, getting your foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get a mechanic, put an application in AutoZone. They're hiring. You
yeah.
Get familiarize yourself at least with car.
I don't know, man. They, like, AutoZone seems to only hire like lesbians with red hair. Yeah, I don't know. What,
or like 500-pound blonde dudes.
But yeah.
Here's the thing. If that 500-pound guy can work there, you can too, right? You can do it.
It's true.
You're probably not unloading trucks every day, okay? It's kind of slow. But familiarize yourself with that trade. Get yourself in something. Get your foot in the door and work towards that. But you can't doom on this.
Yeah, I mean, go be a power lineman. If you want, if you're a power lineman, you're going to make 100, 150K a year. If you want a storm chase, you can go and make 50 grand in about 3 weeks. So there are jobs out there that you can do. And just put your thinking cap on and get it done. And you say, well, Jared, it's easier, but whatever. Just do it. And I don't want to have to wear kid gloves on. I don't want to have to put kid gloves on to talk to the feminist, the boomer, or to you. So get after it. You have the Holy Spirit. Figure it out. Trust the Lord. Pray and trust that He's going to answer your prayers. So that's work. So then let's talk about finances for a little bit. And I know that this financial world is crazy, but the finances of the Scriptures are they're biblical commands with money and wisdom that you see from the Proverbs to the pages of the New Testament as well, Old Testament and New, that if followed, will work. If you're self-indulgent and you want things that you don't have money for and you want it now and you're not willing to have delayed gratification, if you're not in an appropriate way cunning financially, then it's super easy, more easy than ever, to get yourself in a big, big hole, in a hole that's going to be harder to climb out of than the previous generations. The previous generations could get in a hole during their 20s, make some terrible decisions, buy some furniture, get a car and buy a house, and, you know, look up and say, oh man, we're 40 grand in debt. And within a decade or so, climb out of it. It's easy for a person in their 20s now to look up and say, oh my goodness, I'm $180,000 in debt. And it's just from the same foolish decisions that are more consequential. So I recognize that that's there. But if you are wise, if you don't have a financial guide, if your dad has not taught you well, if your mom has not helped you understand, then there are people in the church that can help you. We have several guys in our church now that, you know, my financial questions go directly to Tyler, and Tyler's got a lot of wisdom on everything from investments to markets to the, I mean, you name it, to secondary income, three streams of income, whatever it may be, you got to find guys like that. Because most people, especially in our generation, got themselves into their 20s, made a lot of mistakes, woke up and realized, oh man, I've got to make some changes. And then their 30s was basically the decade of playing catch up. And if you're a young guy, 18, 20, something like that, if you make some good decisions now, interest is either going to make you money and make you wealthy, or it's going to make you broke, one of the two. And if you don't have that self-control piece in line that we talked about first, then finances are going to be a lifelong struggle for you, and you don't want that. So there's a lot of freedom in understanding biblical principles in money and getting those things right on the front end rather than digging yourself in a hole, because it's, like I said, easier than ever for people in their 20s to dig a hole that you're never going to be able to get out of.
Yeah. The world is out to get you.
Yes.
In the sense of, you can't trust that people have your best interest at heart.
Get this credit card. Mm-hmm. It's only 20%, 25%.
And you will save yourself some disillusionment if you don't believe it to begin with.
Yeah.
But God is for you. And He has provided wisdom in the scriptures that work regardless of the age that you're in. They are timeless. And you can trust that He protects and provides for His people. And He will care for you. Even when this deck seems stacked against you, you can't give in to despair, because it's a lack of faith. God will provide for you. He will protect you. He will help you to raise your family in the knowledge and discipline of the Lord, to raise a legacy after you. And when you look back, we have a Christchurch co-op on Fridays, and we're going through in history, getting into the Crusades and talking about the Muslim expansion into Christendom and all the horrors that followed that evil incursion. And you look back at the people in Constantinople facing this horde of demonically inspired people that want nothing more than to kill and destroy and rape and pillage. And we think they were up against it. It seemed like there was no escape for them. And it is those heroes that stood against it, that those heroes that were able to reconquista Spain. Mm-hmm. It is those, look back at the Winged Hussars and the Godfrey of Bouillon and all these Christian heroes who were able to stand against hordes and defend their land. And that's you.
Yeah.
Okay. The deck is stacked against you. The world is out to get you, but God is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And how you respond to these outside influences can set you up to leave a godly legacy.
Yeah.
To be a man that is admired by his great, great, great grandchildren, because the deck was stacked against you, because you still fought valiantly against it. So the one way that you can ensure that won't happen is to black pill.
Yeah.
And to be those people who gave in to despair, who just submitted to the yoke of slavery, who just gave up and spent their days escaping from reality.
Right.
Playing the same video games over and over again in slightly different ways to hit slightly different dopamine hits. Don't escape.
Yeah.
Build. God has put you at this time for a particular reason. You are going to be a man that God is going to use in this generation for His glory, and you will build something amazing. But you can't black pill.
No,
or it's not going to happen.
There are too many bad men and bad women with power. Trust the Lord. Be like Joseph. Our family is just reading through the story of Joseph, and God gave him success in the palace, in the prison, and once again, by getting almost all the power in the kingdom. And you be the kind of man, no matter where you go, trust that God's going to bless the work of your hands, and be tired of so many evil people having power. Look at it, run towards it, get it, and then rule well. This is what God has called Christian men to do.
Psalm 37, I want to give this encouragement. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast down headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it, upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord, and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall altogether be destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. You are not allowed to disbelieve that.
Amen. I can't think of a better way to end. Well done. Thank you, Lord.